Hello, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
It is. And you know what's the most wonderful thing about it?
Okay.
Is we didn't have to come up with things that we like for this episode of Wonderful.
We could stop liking things.
We could stop liking
for
things
for one day.
For a single week. Oh, to just luxuriate in the things we already know we like. Oh, the comfort of it. Because this week, we are doing an Oops All Listener Submissions episode.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a new listener to the show, by which I mean you've listened in only for the last maybe year and a half, we used to do listener submissions. We used to talk about what the people at home were talking about, what they liked. But then we had 8 kids. And so we lost the email login for a considerable amount of time. And we encouraged you to send some in last week. And guess what? You did. And so we're going to talk about them.
Should we still have a small wonder, though? I feel like it's only fair.
We should, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to take what is probably the most likely one and say Tick, Tick, Boom coming out on Netflix this Friday, I believe. A couple days after this episode comes out, Rachel and I had a very exclusive opportunity to see the film early. And it fucking rules.
Yeah, if you are somebody that loves musicals, I mean, it isn't just like, oh, I love Jonathan Larson. It's like, if you love musicals.
If you even kind of like musicals.
Yeah, if you maybe dated somebody at one point that was in a musical, like, you are going to watch this and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what a tribute.
And my man Spider's Man gets rave reviews from me.
Andrew Garfield.
The funniest name for a person. Yeah, he's exquisite. I don't know. Vanessa Hudgens, you know, she's always got like locking it down. Like she's always got it. But Andrew Garfield surprised me.
I thought of a review I could
give. Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
This man may hate Mondays, but you know what he doesn't hate?
Yeah.
A good performance.
Oh, that's so good. That's really good, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wonder if people ever tell him that his last name is like the cat
probably.
Everybody thinks it's so fucking funny. Yeah. All right. What's your small?
I am going to say, oh gosh, we've probably said this. This is embarrassing. The moving walkway.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. It's fun. Folks, it's just fun.
There's the satisfaction because when you're running late for a flight and you know this will give me one extra second.
Right.
You're so grateful for that.
Well, and it also feels like you turn into Sonic the Hedgehog for a second. It's like turbo mode.
Yeah.
Look at these people not using the moving walkway. Why not go turbo mode? All right, you ready to kick it off?
Yes.
You have the list also, but we can bounce back and forth.
Okay.
Jin says, my small wonder is the satisfaction after you do a home improvement project. My husband and I just bought a house, and I've painted, spackled, removed carpet, changed electrical outlets, and so much more already. It's so satisfying to be able to fix something in your own home and actually get it right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I've done anything as ambitious as, well, I've painted, I've never spackled. Removed carpet, I would be afraid to do. Because what if there's mold under there? I'm always, if I'm changing a light bulb, I'm like on my guard for like, is there mold
or
in
just
this?
Like a nest of insects will come out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might just be our little fun surprise bag of a house that we live in.
You put up a good shelf, though.
I've hung many shelves. That doesn't even, I feel like screwing something into a wall doesn't necessarily count. I did soundproof my old office at the house we used to live at. Like, I got all that foam core stuff and got it in like very neat squares and then, you know, pasted it all onto a big sheet of cardboard that I could just move around the room wherever I needed it. I was very proud. That's more of an invention, wouldn't you say?
Uh-huh. You have removed a bathroom faucet fixture.
Yeah, that I couldn't replace.
Yeah,
I
wasn't like really fixing, but it, you know, there was household work involved.
True.
Oh, you've added shelves.
It doesn't just
hung a shelf on the wall, but put a shelf in a closet area to make it more of a pantry.
That's true. I did do that.
Yeah.
I installed a bidet once. That's one I can really hang my hat on. It's no longer functional, but
wow, we are not really good at this, huh?
No, I mean, neither of us is particularly a Tim the Tool Man, but you know, we do our best.
Well, I think for me, I just operate on a low level of fear every day. And house
end of sentence.
And a house project, I feel like you have to enter with a fair amount of confidence.
Right.
Of a like, I watched a video, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, but what is the video not showing you?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We need to get handier. Why didn't we do, I don't know, handy class?
You know what? Like, a video doesn't work for me because I need somebody to be like, and these are my credentials.
Yeah.
And here are my references. And here's an example of some of the projects I've done. Okay, now unscrew. And I'm like, on board. I'm like, okay, I will unscrew.
We have a friend's dad whose name is Bruce. And you hear that name, you're like, this person knows
this guy's
shit
knows
about
yeah.
building stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I went to a friend's house and Bruce was there and he was like, let's go install a deck. And I was like, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. But then we did it. Like, we built a deck.
I know.
And I was like, how the fuck did I do that? It was the power, Bruce.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a skill that I envy. Like, for example, those people that like go out and buy a ceiling fan and they're like, I'm going to hang this ceiling fan.
Electricity scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I guess you can just turn the electricity off to your home, but that seems like a big hassle.
Yeah, but and then what if you turn it on again? Whoops, you did a mistake.
Wired it backwards.
And now
yeah.
your kitchen's on fire.
Yeah. Wow, that would be quite the oopsie if you change a ceiling fan in one room and your kitchen catches on fire in a different one. Yeah. Hey, do you want to read one now?
Yeah.
You got to have your phone at the ready. You got to be like Quick Draw McGraw over there.
Sorry. Okay, this is from Mal. It says, my small wonder is harmonizing while singing. Sometimes when I come home after work, my partner will be singing in the kitchen while they do dishes. Oh. And getting to jump in and sing along with them makes my day better every time. Is this a message to me?
It's the one thing that we're missing in our marriage. Yeah.
I don't know how people do it.
We've talked about harmony on the show before.
I know.
It's a subject I brought.
I always just sing in like a different octave, basically.
Oh.
Like if you are singing a note, I will sing either the higher or lower version of that note and think I am harmonizing.
I mean, it can aid a harmony.
Yeah.
If there was another part that actually harmonized, it can provide a, you know, depth to it. We
but
need
yeah,
a third part. We need our sons to learn harmony and then we can deploy that method. How cute.
Do you remember? That would be very cute.
Well, barbershop quartet.
Do you remember learning it? Like, do you remember
harmony?
Like
it was
in choir? Were they like, all right, today we're going to learn how to do this?
Surprisingly, I don't think I really learned that in choir. It was through musical theater, right?
Yeah.
Because in musical theater, like most songs have harmony in them. And I'm trying to remember, there was a specific musical that we did that had, I think it was Schoolhouse Rock Live. There were a lot of songs that required like surprisingly like pretty deep harmonies. And so I kind of had to learn how that works. And I feel like if you do something like that enough, you kind of learn how to try at least and harmonize with, you know, other people without having to read sheet music or anything like that. I was going to make you like sing a note and show you how good I can harmonize to it, but that seems like a recipe for disaster. But do you want it? You seem curious now. You seem excited about it.
I am curious.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a note. I'm going to fall on my face
okay.
right now.
Ba. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep going? You looked at me
We can only do two parts. I was a little pitchy is all it was.
You want me to do a different
Yeah,
one?
Let's do it. Do go lower and I'll see.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do a minor key.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. That's sort of discordant.
You are so cocky. Look at you. You're
there's
struggling
that.
A little bit.
It is. It's hard. Here, one more.
I'll
try and do a seventh.
There's only so many notes that I know.
Yeah. Which note was that, by the way? All right. I'm going to read the next one. I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
Kathleen says, the salt brine lines from pre-treated roads in the winter, especially before that first real snow of the season. I find it so clever in general that we can pre-treat roads even days in advance to make them safer, but also seeing those lines as you're out running those last-minute milk and bread type errands before a winter storm adds to the whole community buzz and anticipation. That is
now,
not a thing that they do here in Austin.
I'm not familiar, I think, with...
Really? In Chicago? In Chicago, baby!
I always thought that the lines were from car tires.
Well, first of all, you seem really upset about this.
Well, okay, so here's how I thought it worked.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any kind of pre-treating. I
yeah.
thought people knew it was going to snow, and then they would wait till the snow started,
yeah.
and then they would get out there and they'd put their salt down. And or a car would drive through them and another car would be like, I'm going to follow that car's tracks. And then
yeah.
the the tracks just deepened until, like, I guess I don't know what pretreating is.
Yeah, I mean, they just dump salt in streaks on the road. You really in Chicago, like, this was
I never drove common. In Chicago, yeah, I guess so I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's just like in anticipation of a major storm, the salt trucks would go out and make streaks basically in the street that you would, you know, people would drive on, and then it would sort of make the roads a little bit cleaner to begin with. I think they did this in Huntington too, because I remember seeing just like salt on the road before it had even started snowing and thinking like, what's going on? And then when I was older, I realized like, oh, it's smart to be proactive about this.
Yeah, this may be something that at one point I noticed, but at this, I mean, it's been 15 years really since I have
lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has yeah.
it really been that long? I guess so.
I mean, 2007, 2008 was when I left.
Okay. A little bit less than 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't know, man. This is getting serious a little bit. I used to love snow and get really, really excited about the snow and playing in it and just sort of the look and the feel of it. I don't know that I will ever feel that way again as long as we live in Texas.
Well, if we lived in a very flat subdivision that had close proximity to a grocery store, I could see getting excited about it.
Or just anywhere that's not like made of hills, like the
street. But for us, it's just like we know we can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
And the city is not going to help us with that.
No.
And so it is. It's kind of like a small dread in a way.
It is. That was one of the more traumatic, I think, experiences that I have had maybe in my life.
Which is so sad because, I mean, when you look at it from far away, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, Henry got the opportunity to see like real snow in Texas. Like that's so unique. And he could have gotten this opportunity to like play. But talking about it later with other people, it's like, well, I don't want my kid to go outside and get wet and cold and then come inside and it is also very cold.
Right. You know? And also, like, you were 8 months pregnant and the roads were unnavigable.
If I had done a snow angel, I don't know how I would have gotten up.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. This is a bummer segment. Wonderful. It's just like I used to really look forward to it, but I think that's going to be difficult.
I think if we hadn't gotten so much, if it had been like a light dusting,
yeah,
and it was like a nice like 35-40 degrees,
yeah,
that would have been nice.
Delightful. Here's one from Kelly, who says, the ritual of waking up early on Saturday mornings to watch the new Ted Lasso episode while drinking coffee with the love of my life. If only there were always new episodes of Ted Lasso. Yeah, that would be nice.
Have you talked to anyone that doesn't like Ted Lasso?
I don't think so.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
We know two people that don't like Ted Lasso.
Oh my God.
Should I put them on blast?
I mean,
they are listeners of the show.
Oh, they are?
Leah and Tommy. Oh, don't like Ted Lasso.
Oh, wow.
It was a real moment. Like, my heart stopped when she shared that with me.
There were some things about the second season I didn't like. What does that mean? Where does that put me?
I suggested to Leah that you had filled my life with optimism and love in a way that had made me soft and ready to receive Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And that maybe she hadn't experienced that softening that I had.
Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of a fucked up thing to say. About
Well, I think we all know that you provide like a spirit of you know, enthusiasm,
right? But by the transitive property, that means I'm the softest boy man that there is in the world. I don't obviously Ted Lasso's done for the season, but I feel this way very much about you know, about Bake Off. There's a nice Friday one that you just know you've got to
Survivor we get excited about.
Yeah, sometimes.
I think what usually happens around 4 or 5 o'clock, Griffin and I both start doing the math of like, what are we going to do after our children are asleep? And usually one of us will turn to the other and be like, we have a show to watch.
We do, which is great because we really only have about an hour and a half of conscious time together.
I can't imagine doing it in the morning, although I figure that would be really nice.
Well, that's because our weekend mornings are just like automatically a sprint.
I used to feel that way about Lost, of like, is the soonest I can watch the episode?
Yeah. Because you don't want to get spoiled.
And there were certain shows where I felt like, should I just stay up until midnight?
Ooh. What a delicious luxury.
I know.
Hey, do you want me to steal you away?
Please do.
Okay, hold my hand.
Okay.
I'm on a Naruto run and you need to...
Ooh, it's kind of sticky.
Yeah, that's from all the bubble gum. But I'm on a Naruto run and I need you to do that with me as I hold your hand.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, do you want me to show you?
You stand up like this and you run like this.
Oh.
Yeah, that's called Naruto run.
Oh.
Now you show me, just so I know that you got it, that you understand it.
No, because you'll look down my shirt.
Yeah. Got a couple Rambo blogs here, and I would love to read this first one to you because it is for Drew, and it is from Bryce, who says, "Hey, Drew, bet you weren't expecting a birthday wish from a Jumbotron. Well, surprise and happy birthday. You are my best friend, but don't tell Kyle, and one of the coolest dudes I know. So, I've called upon Time God to cement this birthday wish in time forever and use it when I forget to get you a present. Also, let this be the signal to start our podcasts." I think they ran out of characters at the midnight hour.
Unless Podcast is a new thing.
Mm. Oh, you're still listening to podcasts?
This one's faster because the T is gone.
Also, bad news. Kyle is a dedicated listener to this show. Kyle is one of our most diehard fans.
Yeah, Kyle definitely heard this.
So you got a lot of explaining to do.
Can I read the next one?
Oh, yes.
It is for David Bear. It is from Ian. To my sweet husband, as I am writing this, we have been married a little more than a week, and it has been everything I ever wanted. You are so worthy of all my love and more, and I am so excited to share a life with you and our cat sons. Thank you for putting up with the weird voices I come up with and encouraging me to be an idiot. Love you lots.
I tell you, man, that first week, if you can make it through the first week of marriage, you can make it through anything. It's so challenging.
Griffin and I talk a lot about how people that talk about how hard that first year of marriage is should just wait, maybe.
Wait just a little bit.
Because turns out it does, I think, get harder.
Oh, no, babe.
If you bring in Spawn, you know?
Spawn changes it a bit.
Or pets. I mean, anytime you are sharing the responsibility of the life of another being, you are adding a serious complication to your relationship.
Who's going to mow the lawn?
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. Uh-huh. Hey, if you want to get a Jumbotron on the show for the first half of 2022, you need to do that immediately because the drawing that we are doing to sort of assign, you know, Jumbotron availability to people, it ends this Friday, November 19th. So if you want to enter a drawing for a chance to purchase a Jumbotron on our show, head to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron drawing. And if your name is drawn, you'll have the option to purchase a personal Jumbotron message for $100. Yes, it is weird. It's a strange way of doing business, but our demand is much higher than our supply here on Wonderful.
There's a lot of love in the world.
So much.
And a lot of people want to express that through a Jumbotron.
Exactly. Once again, we're only accepting personal messages at this time, and the air date is estimated, not guaranteed. And if you want more details, visit MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron drawing or email Daniel@MaximumFun.org if you have any further questions.
Look, it's a rough world out there, especially lately. I get it. So let's take care of our minds as best we can. I'm John Moe, host of Depression Mode with John Moe. Every week, I talk with comedians, actors, writers, musicians, doctors, therapists, and everyday folks about the obstacles that our world and our brains throw in front of us. Depression, anxiety, traumatic stress, all those mental health challenges that are way more common and more treatable than you might think.
The first time I went to therapy, I was so ashamed, and I was like, can't believe I gotta go into therapy. Like, I thought I could be a man, and Humphrey Bogart was never in therapy. And then my dad said, yeah, but he smoked a carton of cigarettes a day.
Give your mind a break, give yourself a break, and join me for Depression Mode with John Moe.
Can I read you another small wonder?
Oh, yeah.
This is from Amanda. It says, toll highways and express lanes. I will happily pay the fees to not be stuck in traffic. Fellow Austinite, forever giving the stink eye to I-35.
That is a good one. That is a good
one.
I
never get on I-35 anymore, by the way.
No reason to.
I feel like we, or at least I, have built my whole life around not having to get on I-35.
Yeah, I schedule every facet of my being avoiding that terrible highway.
I do love the express lane and the toll road. 100%. Also because it's like a bill that you get in the mail like a month later and you're like,
and
oh,
you forget about it and then it's like $65 well, the next month.
That only happens to you.
That only does happen to me, I guess. Yeah, I don't feel good feelings about the, you know, the collections system for the toll road. Cause I also used to get bills here in Austin for toll roads that I definitely did not drive on, which was cool.
Yeah, that is strange.
Yeah, it's not a good way of doing business. But anytime I see an opportunity to get on a toll road and it's not exorbitantly expensive, I'm like, hell yeah, turbo mode. Let's go. One time I was driving basically through the East Coast looking for a city to live in when I was looking to move out of Cincinnati. And, you know, I drove up to Boston, I think, to go to PAX up there. And it was a really fun trip. But the highlight of it was when I took the Pennsylvania Turnpike. You ever been on that bad boy?
No.
It goes from like the coast all the way to Pittsburgh and past it, I think, a little bit. And you can go like 90 miles an hour. And you, it's like 20 bucks or something like that. I forget what the fee was back then. But it's like, hey, do you want to cross all of Pennsylvania, a long ass state, in like an hour and a half? Get on this turnpike and like hold on for the ride of your life.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a hoot.
Yeah. No, I am one of those people where I like to keep moving, even if it isn't necessarily getting me there any faster. Like, I will look over at the highway, and if the highway seems busy, I will take this roundabout way.
Yeah.
That probably is not any faster.
But you're like a shark when you're in your beautiful machine.
I do.
You can't slow down for a second.
Yeah.
You fall asleep.
By beautiful machine, do you mean my small to mid-size SUV?
Yeah.
It's not particularly...
It's an older model.
They're really built for speed,
no.
One would say.
It's built for, excitement. And it's got a big back seat.
You know what I don't have?
What?
You know when that, like, the trunk thing, the hand, like the hands-free or whatever,
oh,
the
sure.
trunk thing? And I saw that and I was like, oh, God, people are just getting lazy.
Yeah.
And there have been so many times where I wish my car had that.
Where the thing would open up because you have a baby in one hand and some Costco shit in the other?
Yes.
Yes. I've always liked the one where you kick the fucking back bumper. Like, yeah! And then the thing opens because the robot's like, ouch, here you go. Ow, but I liked it. Here are your groceries.
One more
fucking, yeah! Lines are so long at Costco!
One more time, Griffin. It seems like you've had a hard day.
Yeah.
I will receive your kick.
You just go to sell it, and they're like, looks like the bumper is dented in this one extremely specific place. It's like, yeah, I get mad at Costco. Oh, right. We've all been there.
Is it your turn or my turn?
I want one I can just headbutt the back of my car and just all the doors open.
Your beautiful face, though.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. You know that about me. Is it, whose turn is it? My turn.
Yes.
This is from Abby. My small wonder is little crunchy pieces you put in soup. Soup crunchums, if you will. And I will. They can be oyster crackers, tortilla chips, bacon bits, sometimes even seeds, depending on the soup. The cold weather calls for soup, but sometimes the meal just feels incomplete without some bite to it. The soup crunchums pull the whole meal together in the best way. Yeah. This is the only context in which I, as an adult man, will eat Fritos.
Did we say that's from Abby?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Yes, Fritos for sure.
In any soup.
I love an oyster cracker also.
You know what's weird? I eat oyster crackers raw.
By themselves?
Raw, yeah.
Raw.
I eat raw oyster crackers.
Instead of marinated way typically they are in
soup.
Are they
called oyster crackers? Because you're supposed to eat them with an oyster?
I assumed it was their shape. They're shaped like little shells.
I guess so. I don't know. But yeah, a Frito in a, you know, in a chili or a stew or any kind of soup.
Oh my gosh, I want to make chili. I'm going to have to do that this week.
Yeah.
You know what's hard for me is that, like, for Fritos, for example.
Yeah.
You, like, sprinkle your little crunchums on top, and you'll go and you'll sit down, and then you'll be like, oh, I want more crunchums.
Yeah.
So I've just started, like, bringing the whole bag with me.
And I like that about you.
Is a slippery slope.
I like that about you. Yeah, at that point, you're eating more Fritos. You're eating Fritos with a side of soup.
I will, like, finish my soup or chili, and then I will still be eating Fritos.
Yeah. Go down smooth. I do not know why I don't eat Fritos. Except when I'm eating soup.
Oh, see, I'll eat Fritos by myself.
Oh, really?
And alone in a room.
Oh. One time, though, we didn't have any Fritos, but we did have a very small bag of chili con carne Fritos. And I put that in my chili, and it was, that was, don't do that.
Was it too much?
That's too much chili flavor, folks.
Okay, can I read this next one?
Yes.
This is a really good one, Chelsea.
Yeah.
When you're in the grocery store produce section and they play a little thunder sound right before they turn on the sprinklers that spray the lettuce, I grin every time. Yes, Chelsea.
It's beautiful. You feel like you're shopping for parsley one second, and then the next second you're transported to the fucking Rainforest Cafe.
Oh my gosh, it's so charming.
It is.
I can't think of anything else that is built like that, of like, I'm going to charm you a little bit before I do a necessary function.
It's perfect. It is like the pinnacle of functional design too, right? Because if you've got your head in there looking for the best cucumber,
yeah,
you need some sort of, if just some klaxon blared like, alert, you've got to start sprinkling. You'd like never go back to that grocery store again. You'd be traumatized. If it played like an air raid siren. So they just give you a little.
You know what would be great also? Like if you have a refrigerator that has an ice machine.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes like you'll press the ice button and then you'll forget to set it back to the water button?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, I got ice. I wanted water. If the ice button did a little like. And
oh,
so like
yeah.
You knew like, oh wait, this is going to be ice. I need to change it back to water.
Yeah. Ooh, it's cold. It's about to, who's ready to get chili cold? But then what if you try to get ice and it's set on the water setting? It'll be like, ooh, I'm warm. I'm hot ice that turned into water.
I mean, you could do the thunderstorm again, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish there was a cool grocery store that when it's about to start sprinkling, you just hear, that was Thunderstruck.
Okay, I figured that's what it was, but I just thought you would say Thunderstruck.
I saw an opportunity to sing Thunderstruck, and okay. I went for it.
Okay.
One last one. This one's from Mike. I don't know if they do it everywhere or if this is a Philly Flyers thing, but they have, it is Philadelphia, right? I just filled that in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But they have Mites on Ice, MITES, Mites on Ice at intermission, which is peewee hockey players play on the arena ice at intermission. The crowd gets into it. They cheer. They boo the refs. It's great.
They do not do that everywhere.
No. And I encourage everyone to look up a YouTube video of Mites on Ice. I watched one for like 15 minutes today because it's exceptional. They do interviews post-game with the five-year-olds. And like, so you were down by one at the end of the game. And what were you thinking at that point? And the kids will just be like, nothing.
Yeah, because that space in between periods is like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
That's more than enough
plenty
time.
Of time for some kids to get out there.
No,
and
usually in St. Louis, they would do some kind of like goofy game where people would push each other and they'd have to like throw their body into the goal or something.
That sounds bad.
I mean, it was still entertaining, but it's not nearly adorable enough.
It's so good. So good watching these kids play hockey and falling down constantly, constantly falling down and just looking like they just go completely limp. The way a child goes limp when they fall to the ice, it's probably the safest. They're probably taught to do that to be like safe. But my God, it's incredible. So good. Okay, we're gonna stop there, but please keep sending in your submissions. It's wonderfulpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. It's a great place to be, to live, for our shows to live.
Yeah, and they're always putting out new shows. There's always going to be something new for your eyes. And so if you're like, oh, I've listened to all the wonderful episodes, one, thank you, but two, maybe try something new.
Yeah. We got new merch over at macroymerch.com, including some just gorgeous custom dice, pink and sparkly beauties that come in a little Bureau of Balance bag. I just got mine in the mail yesterday, and I can't stop touching them, you know? Just rolling them around in my hand like some sort of, like, dice king. Anyway, we're going to stop now. But here's one more host submission.
Okay.
I think what is wonderful is all our fans telling us what they like, because it feel, you know, you feel that soul connection. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Derek and Natasha.
The way you said "I think" kind of
no. Rachel doesn't like Rachel hates that stuff. Like she's like, I don't want to hear what you like. No, that's not
the
true.
Show about me and my likes.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. No. No, I love them too.
People are like, I love getting on my motorcycle and riding. And Rachel will be like, that has nothing to do with super poetry. Get out of here. Soup or poetry or super poetry.
Ooh.
That's poetry that you yell.
That's my cafe that I'm going to open up.
Really loud. Yeah. I'd go to it.
Oh, I thought you were saying soup or poetry.
Yeah, but it also sounds like super poetry.
Yeah.
Which is like powerful poetry. The last minute of this show has been absolutely
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
You're in the theater. The lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she stand up to her? Oh, good God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? We never know when we'll see ourselves in a movie, but that search for recognition is exactly what we're going to talk about on the podcast Feeling Seen with me, Jordan Cruciola. Each episode, we'll bring in a guest to talk about the films that they see themselves in and also the ways that movies have fallen short. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun or wherever you find your podcasts.